If God has revealed that this is where this thing is, it doesn't matter if you see it or you don't see it. As far as God has revealed it, and most the things that God has revealed, he has revealed in his word. And so there are some things he has also revealed in his creation. Praise the Lord. So if we cannot believe what God has revealed to us, you say, but there are some secret things that belong to God and we don't know it. But the things that God has revealed, if we can take them as what God has revealed and walk with them as God has revealed it, it's called what? It's called unbelief. So when we come to pray about anything, we first have to believe what God has said. Praise the Lord. If we come to pray about anything, while we are coming to the act of prayer is not an act of ignorance. The act of prayer should be an act of knowledge. Praise the Lord. So praying is like you going to your parents or going to any place or your job or something you have, and let me say, or going to your bank, and you have your money in there already. When you come, you don't just come and go into the vault and take money, do you? You come there, you write your check or do something, just present it. Praise the Lord. With the knowledge that the check that I'm presenting, the money is what? It's in there. That's really so if you don't know what God has revealed, you'll be in a great disadvantage. And second of all, if you can't believe what God has revealed, and then you're just coming to come and beg, he says you'll also be in a great disadvantage. So one thing was on this, and one of the greatest things that God has declared and revealed that he has paid for is our freedom. So you must be very confident. Anything that wants to restrict your freedom, anything that's causing your freedom to be taken away from you, you'll be very comfortable that you can come to God and take it back. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest things, he says that he shed his blood that we might be what? Free. So anything that is hindering your freedom, is it your health? Do you know that it doesn't matter what anything that is trying to hinder your freedom? Do you know what repentance is? Repentance is that I took this thing. Right? I'm holding this thing. But then I realized that this thing I'm holding, that I've made a mistake. Repentance is I put it back, right? Or even if I come and ask for forgiveness. So with God, the law says, no, when I take this thing, I'll be punished. But God says, if a person repents, the blood washes it away. The law says if you repent, you still have to pay the price. Amen? But God says that if somebody repents, the blood does what? Washes that thing away. So free, one of the key things is freedom. So no matter anything that wants to hold you down, take away your freedom, it doesn't, if it's something that you did, and you realize it, when it comes to God, when it comes to prayer and with God, what you have to come to God and repent from that thing. When you repent, the blood does what? Then you are free. What he paid for is freedom. So anything that takes away your freedom, you should be very confident that God has revealed that in him, that he paid for your freedom. That so anything that takes away your freedom, it is God's will that you come ask him and he will rescue you out of it. It's very important. That's very key. So freedom from anything, anything that's holding you down, poverty, sickness, oppression, anything that is restricting your freedom, God has paid for it in Christ Jesus. That's the key thing he paid for. Praise the Lord. And we also understand that there are times that our heart can have belief in what God has said, what God has revealed. But you know, our heart and our head sometimes is different. So your heart's standing strong, but your head will be telling that this thing is not going to work. So when that happens sometimes, it's a trick. We begin to think that we don't have faith and we'll fall apart. No, that is time when he's saying that you can't tie your faith. You ignore your head. And don't agree with your head that you don't believe that thing. Because he say a man believes with what? His heart. A man does not believe with his head. Praise the Lord. So when you are holding to the word of God in your heart, and your head might be, it happens to all of us. And that what happens, people become confused. They're saying that I really don't believe that's what. No, that is when you stand. Praise the Lord. So it's very important to understand prayer, because if you don't understand that, you believe something and you're standing on it and your head is saying something else, you can throw up on your prayer. say, no, really, I don't believe. That's why it's no. It's when you stand and you tell your head. Because it says that the spirit is fighting the flesh, and the flesh is what? Fighting the spirit. So your head is common sense. In your heart, you've taken that word. So that is why it's important to continue to repeat what your heart has said. Because what you're doing is that your sense is trying to say something else, but your heart won't say something. So it says same something else. Your heart is agreeing to something else with your heart. Because say if a man believes with his heart, then he's saved. But your head is going, ah, no. That is when you now begin to what? Repeat it. Repeat it. That is where it comes to speaking the word. Praise the Lord. That's why if God has said in your business that whatever you put your hand to do, it will prosper. And that you have trust God that is prosper, and you're going there to tell you, this thing is not going to work. That's when you begin to speak that word. You begin to, because at that time you're talking to your head. You're telling him to shut up, that God he has the final say, and this is what God said, and you begin to thank God. And we'll see all of that. And that is what faith is. That is what how we fight, some of the light to fight the unbelief. So when we pray and we do not receive, we have no joy. That's one of the greatest tragedies of not receiving. If you pray and it's not happening, you have no joy. And what lack of joy does, lack of joy causes more depression. Praise the Lord. It causes sadness, anger. Amen. Whenever you don't receive anger, gossip, and all these practices, there's no life in it. There's no life in depression. There's no life in anger. So all those practices, all those things, they are what? They bring death. So Mark 11, 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you what? When you pray. Whatsoever thing you ask when you pray, do what? Believe that you have received them. And what will happen? You will have them. The key to prayer. Whatever you ask. Now, how can you believe that you have them? Because first you have ascertained that God has already given you that. That is why somebody who does not know the word cannot pray effectively. That's why for you to be an effective praying person, you also must be somebody that spent time in the word and spent time in gathering of the word to have yourself soak the word so that you know that it is true what God has said. So when you stand and you're praying, anything else is coming, you say, this is what God said about this issue. So the condition to receiving when we pray is to believe that we receive what we are asking for. And this confidence comes from the fact that we are asking for what He has revealed as belonging to us. Praise the Lord. He said, when we pray, you fail, whatever you pray, when you pray, believe. Why you believe that you receive is because you are asking for something that has been revealed that does what? It belongs. Why you go to the bank and just drop your check is because you are coming to take something you believe is there. Praise the Lord. If you did not believe that it is there, the way you come with that, you might not even come. You pass by. And even if you come, you won't be sure. You'll be sure. The slightest thing, if the teller just asks you what's your name, you just say, no, I'm sorry. You know, because you think that now he's asking you because that thing is not what? Really there. So that's the confidence. And the confidence also is because we know it's there. And secondly, that God does what? Hears us always because of what? Because of the blood. That's why we have confidence. That no matter what it is, that is what? He hears. Because the Bible says that Christ lives forever, sitting in the right hand of God, ever doing what? Interceding on our behalf. So no matter what, we are confident that God does what? Hears us. Because Jesus Christ is sitting there with him and doing what? Talking in our behalf. So it gives us great confidence. We need this a great confidence in place of prayer. So we find ourselves missing the mark because sometimes we come without knowing these things. So there was a father who came without this knowledge to Christ. And that's our text this evening. If you look, let's look at the book of Mark chapter 9, 22 to 24. I lay these foundations before I go and give you three or four points, things that will help us to make sure our help us with our unbelief.
So the background of this story, this father comes to Jesus Christ because he has a sick son. So he comes to pray because he's in need for healing for the son. So 20, he started describing this. And that's why I was saying before, it doesn't matter how flowery the prayer is. It's about what you believe. So come, he said, "Ah, Father, this," or you come, you explain, "It has been for 10 years, it is black, it is red." That is not what's going to make it the answer. So here he comes, he starts the whole thing. The child is sick. He said, "I've come," they did not do anything. He asks him, "How long?" He says, "The spirit often," 22. We read Mark chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. He said, "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us," what? "If you can." You see, so he has come to the bank. Remember, they tell us that how you receive in prayer is that whatsoever you pray for, ask it. Believe that you receive it, you should what? Have it. But here he comes praying, he's saying, "If what? If you can." There was no knowledge. Verse 23. Then Jesus asked him, What do you mean? Actually, it was almost like an offense. Jesus was not offended. As well, these are many places where Jesus was sorrowful. Because really, it is really sorrowful for somebody who loves you, seeing you in a place where you have access to take what is yours and you're ignorant today. That's why if you have children and you come and you see either their school fees or food they're supposed to eat, and you see them just come and just hanging around the fridge and not wanting to take food, it breaks your heart. You go like, "It's yours. Why don't you take it?" So he said, "What do you mean? Anything is what? Is possible if what happens? If a person believes." Anything is possible if a person believes. Verse 24. The father instantly cried out and said, "What? I do believe, but help what? Help me overcome what? My unbelief." Now, you know that, and like I said, unbelief is not accepting what God has revealed about himself or in a situation. Like if God says in sickness that you're healed, God has revealed that I've done this for you. Like when God says that through the blood of Christ, him shedding his blood, I've forgiven your sins, and your sins I see them no more. He has revealed that that's what the blood does. So if you being ignorant or continuing living like I'm not worthy, that's living in unbelief, right? So he can come now and we talk, right? And he believes, right? Now, but then when he walks outside, you know, that's the difference of unbelief and believing. You can believe something now, but continue to live in unbelief. So he says, "Okay, I believe now. I believe that all things are possible. Heal this, I believe. But I also want you to do what? Help my unbelief." How I live on continuing to do what? To agree in the things that you do. Praise the Lord. So help my unbelief. I believe. Okay, all things are possible. Okay, fine. I brought this child. I believe you can heal him now. Because what brought this statement is that he says, "If you can." What he said, I'm not saying now that you can't. I know that you can do it. I believe you can do it. But I want you to do what? Also help my unbelief. So some important considerations to help overcome our unbelief. The first thing, we must always be confident about and knowing is that the name of Jesus Christ is the key that unlocks everything that God has for us. That's why many times, sometimes we come into prayer already filled. We come into prayer, we'll be calling St. John, St. Matthew, St. Everybody. And the person means right. But God has revealed time after time all over the word of God that it is only through Jesus Christ that all these things are what? Are yours. But we come into prayer, what God has revealed, that's a stark unbelief. We put the name of Jesus by the side and come and say the mother of Jesus because it's the mother. People listen to their mother. Well, Peter was his friend. He was a saint. Now, people who died a couple of years ago, they too have become saints. They are holier than us. But it says that it's only Jesus that is a priest that lives forever, that is seated at the right hand of the Father, doing what? God has revealed that.
God has revealed that. So ignoring that is the beginning of unbelief in prayer. And that is why somebody will never receive. Because if it is a man that is using as his way to God, that means he's looking at that person, he's also looking at himself. And not only that, God has said there's no other way through which anybody can be saved except through that one man, what? Jesus. So God has revealed that truth. So the first key thing to help our unbelief, the first key thing that we're able to receive in prayer, we must understand that the key and the power is in what?
In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse John chapter 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask in my name, and you will receive, that what will happen? Ask in my name. Actually, I didn't put 23, but if you can put 23 up for me. Put 23. Put that place. Just go to verse 23. And then you see something over there. See something. I want us to read it again.
But in my name, that until now you have asked anything, nothing in my name. You know, I was saying that on Sunday before when they came to, they say, teach us how to pray. Before he started teaching them, our Father who art in heaven. He didn't say anything about him. Hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, the Father. Then before he went, he said, up to this point, you have not asked anything in my name. But now, everything goes what? Goes to me. He said, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father what? Directly. And he will grant your request because you do what? Because you use my name. Because you use my name. And that is so critical in prayer. A lot of people miss it there. Some people want to pray, they call it Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, and it's just nonsense. Because there's no other way.
John chapter 14, verse 1. John 14, 1. We're saying the first thing in helping our unbelief in prayer to be able to get results, because we say the key of prayer is getting results.
Let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God, also do what? Period. He didn't say believe in your money. He didn't say believe in your mother that prayed for you so much. He didn't say believe in St. Peter. He didn't say nothing. He said you believe in God, do what? Believe in me.
John chapter 14, verse 6 to 7.
Jesus told him, what? I am the way, the truth, and what? And the life. What does the next sentence say? No one can come to the Father except what? Period. This is the first foundation of unbelief. This is where people get stuck. Because when they don't use the name of Jesus, they don't receive. And their joy is not full.
Verse 7.
If you have really known me, you will know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have what?
I've seen him. Praise the Lord.
So I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you have seen me, you have seen what?
You have seen the Father. You have seen the Father.
So now, understanding this, the first key thing that is the name of Jesus, the second thing we need to do is we need to grow in the knowledge of God and his character. We need to increase our knowledge of God's character. Because the issue is that because the thing is that I say ask anything. I will say that unbelief comes from not knowing or not accepting what God has revealed. So if you know God 0.0001%, you will know only what he has revealed 0.0001%. So there's 99% all these things that we will not know. So it will hinder our prayers. So we'll come and pray only that 1% that we know, and the other 99% we'll pray in ignorance. And you know, in any business, in any deal that you do, that your return is 0.1%. You, as a matter of fact, it's a tragedy. So we need to increase our knowledge of God's character. knowing his character, in his willingness to grant what we ask for. Not going to learn his character only that he's a roaring fire.
Praise the Lord.
Because if my dealing with you is that I come to ask you for what you have prepared for me, what I want to know more is, what are those things you have prepared? Because in prayer, that's all I come for. So I need to increase my knowledge of what is it that you're saying about that issue.
Are you guys with me?
So we need to increase our knowledge of God's willingness to grant what we are asking for. And one of the easiest way we can know that, because reading earlier where we say, where the Bible told us, he said, if we know Christ, he said, we know God. So there is an example that was a human, a man called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that walked this earth, that he says, if we know him, we have known God. So we can see his willingness in granting prayers. And how he goes about it. How do people come to him? And what makes him grant prayers? If we can know that, then we understand how God reacts also to prayer.
Praise the Lord. Because he says that the knowledge of God is to know the man Jesus Christ. So knowing Christ is knowing God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. He says the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses what? The very character of God. Praise the Lord.
He didn't say it exuded similar.
Right? You got a lot of book English people here.
He didn't say it exuded a similar character. He said exact character.
Because similarities, things that have similarities, there might be a way they have differences. But they are similar. They're exact.
He says the Son reveals his own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of what? Of his command.
When he had cleansed us from our sins, he did what? He sat down in the place of honor at what? At the right hand of the majesty God, what? In heaven.
So knowing the Son is knowing the Father. And also knowing that, beyond just knowing the Son, knowing the Father, is that the Son is now seated what? With the Father. That's the only one that's seated with the Father.
So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18. Sorry, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
He said, rather, then what you must do, what we must do, rather you must do what? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of who? Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. What? Amen. So our focus now is to grow in the knowledge of the grace. Because everything that we receive from God is by what? It's by grace. It's by his blood that was shed for us. He says, for while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. So it was grace that brought us in. So he said, right, that what we need to do is to grow in the knowledge of that. As we know that more, it will enhance how we come to pray and how we pray and the confidence. Because he says that the only way you can receive when you come to pray is that when you come to pray, you should first receive. Eh? He says the only way it works is this: say when you come to pray, I will give you. He says when you come to pray, you will do what? You receive and then you have it. So which means that before you come, you receive. So when you grow in the grace, if we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes very easy for us to receive. Because now we know it is grace, then very much we begin to look at. So because do you know that some of the problem when we come to pray, well, sometimes when we read what they say God has done for us, do you know a lot of people cannot believe it, they can't accept it?
They be looking at it, they say, how can, no, that's not true. That's not true. Praise the Lord. So let's look at his grace. In this grace, understand grace when you come to pray. Understand that God is willing to give you whatever you ask for according to his will, including the things that you do not deserve or the things that you are not worthy of. It's very important. So in other words, now, if you understand about God, it's like understand that a bank, that when you come, even if you don't have money, then they will give you money.
So do you know what that will do for you? Anytime you have need, you just walk in there to take. Praise the Lord. And you'll be always confident. You won't be looking anymore if, did I deposit any money in there? Eh? It changes. So it makes it, because it says, because listen to me, it's very important. It says, when you come to pray, whatever you pray, he said you must first believe that you have received. You must first. Not that you will receive. Praise the Lord. You must first believe that what? That you receive. So grace makes it very important for you to understand that. So we must understand with God's grace that what's happened is that when we come to pray, we must believe that in God, whatsoever we ask, according to his will, including the things that we don't even deserve. We have not earned it. There's no good things we have done that gives it to us. We must understand that God's grace gives us everything. That everything that Christ died for, he has already given it to us. He's not waiting conditional to you. Christians can't accept this. The only way we begin to accept this, as we begin to look at grace, begin to understand God, and begin to understand his willingness, and we'll see. Because he says that Christ is an example. And we'll see. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 to 3. Let us begin to see how God, Christ was dishing out grace. He says, suddenly. What? Now, what suddenly means that we did not talk about this? There's no prerequisite that you have met. Suddenly you showed up. He says, suddenly a man with leprosy approached who? Approached Christ, approached him, and knelt before him and said, Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me what? Clean. You see here, he didn't say, if you can. He says what? If you're willing. Look at verse 3. Jesus reached out and touched him and said what? I'm willing. This man jumped out suddenly. And you know, leprosy was a very dirty thing in that time that you can't even come. So leprosy is like a sinner. It's always like, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that before in that time, if someone who is leper, if he's coming, he'll be shouting, leprosy. Unclean. He said that suddenly an unclean jumped before the Lord. And he says that if you look at Christ, you say you have seen God. Praise the Lord. He says suddenly he jumped and reached out. He says, I'm willing. He said, be healed. And instantly what? The leprosy went. So even people who jump in suddenly, who are unclean, God is willing to heal them. God is willing to resolve their issue. Praise the Lord. It is very important to know this in prayer. If you continue to meditate on this and be comfortable and meditate on it, you can come to prayer and you receive. Because it says that whatsoever you pray for, you must first believe that you have what? So if you don't, if you can't believe that you have received, I don't care how long you pray, you can't, you walk away. I don't care if you are facing the east. I don't care if you went to the mountain. No matter what you did, that's the condition. If you understand that suddenly, that any unclean person on a job, that God is always willing to do what? To snatch them out. It will make you to come at any time. And whenever you're coming, you'll be coming with the confidence that if it is healing, you're saying that God says healing is mine, you always be coming with the confidence. Do you ever see that people are going to churches, they go to ask for healing or something, they say, first go and fast this long, bring soap, bring this. They keep being the conditions. And the people don't understand. Hundreds of people go to those places. I tell people, I say, if you take a clock and put on this wall and set it to 12 o'clock, do you know you'll be right 2 times in a day? Am I correct? If I take a bad clock, it's not working. I just put it at 12 and the clock does not work. Do you know that 2 times of the day, that clock will be right? It'll be right. It'll be right. So he says, he suddenly says, I'm willing. Now let's look at another case. Luke chapter 7, verse 6 to 7. So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourselves by coming to my home. For I am what? I am not worthy. Now, this person even knew. This person declared himself somebody that's not worthy. He said, I'm not worthy of such an honor.
verse 7. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. I'm not even worthy to come and pray. He said, just say the word, but I believe that your word has power. That no matter where you are, if you say it, it will work. He said, I'm not worthy. But I know that you are gracious. And I know how powerful your word is. Praise the Lord. So even when you think that you're not worthy, and God has said something is yours, if you come to pray, you should receive it. Very important in prayer. Because remember the key is that whenever we come to pray, we must first believe that we what? We before we get. So if you are coming, don't believe that you receive it. Same when I see it. You see where there's a problem in prayer. And understanding God's grace makes it easier. It makes you more confident to be able to operate that key of receive, if I say. Verse 9. Look. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that were following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith. You see? I haven't seen what? Faith. So he didn't see unbelief here. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. Verse 10. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave was what? Complete. So even the person that was not worthy, God was willing to heal them. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 7, sorry. Verse 2, yes. It says, now a funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. Verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart did what? Let me tell you, even when God sees you in your hurt, he already has compassion. He wants to help. That is why it is ridiculous for people to think that a place of prayer is a place where you come and starve yourself and kill your place for God to move. See, they don't understand grace. And so, whenever, if you understand prayer in that way, whenever you can do that, you never come to pray believing that you have received. So you always come and say, let me first do this and do that. So you are praying and you don't know, you can't believe that you have received. So what you keep producing now is people who walk by sight. And they'll be doing all kinds of methods. This method, this method, this method. And it begins to look ridiculous. And as a matter of fact, you choose now to go to something else than go to that kind of God. Has it ever occurred to us that most times people only come to God as the last resort? Why is that? Have you ever asked, why is that so? I mean, if you know that if you go to Wells Fargo, at any time they will give you money, why would you be dying of hunger before you go there? What is stopping you is that you don't, if they won't give you. Do you see the kind of religion now? And then now, that kind of thinking has created people who are taking advantage of people. They are waiting for desperate people. So when they show up, they begin to make merchandise of them. We are going to do this for you. You're going to deposit this money. You are going to, they tell him, take this one. If you go put it by the right side of the bed, in the morning, turn 7 times, turn around. It's happening, I'm telling you. Fear. Why do you think it's like that? It's because you don't understand prayer. And there's no result. I'm telling you, if we begin to understand these things, it completely, you begin to have fullness of joy. Before you have any issue, you're talking to God. You're saying, Lord, what is this? What is this one? In the infancy of it, you're talking, you're discussing it, you're laughing with him, you're saying, and then your joy. Somebody asks you how this, you say, no, it's going to solve. Now, me and I discussed it already. You're not thinking, I'm not worthy. You're not thinking, is he willing? All of that is not there because you know that all of this has been settled in your heart. So as you're talking, you already believe that you receive. And he says, if you believe that you see, say you will have it. You start getting success in prayer. Like this. Very simple. He says, when the Lord saw her, His heart overflowed with compassion. He says, don't cry. He now began to console her. Verse 14. Then he walked over to the coffin. They didn't ask him to do anything. His compassion moves him. When you are going through anything, the Lord, your Father, is moved with compassion. He wants to do something. Many times we won't let him. So he'll be talking, we're not listening. So could you imagine, moved with compassion, he start going towards that coffin, and the coffin just start going to another side. Because they don't think that God has seen their problems and he wants to help them. They'll be agitating. He said, then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, do what? Get up. Verse 15. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus did what? Gave it back. Do you not think that the mother's joy was full at that time? Yeah. The second thing, the first thing I said is what? The name of Jesus. The first thing. The second thing I said was what? Growing in what? In his grace and the knowledge. The third thing is grow to understand the abundance of God. Let me tell you something. If you begin to meditate and to see how abundant God is or has, do you know that whenever people in a village has a problem, the people they go to first is the people they consider that they're rich people in that town. They don't go to the guy that begs in that town. The only way they will go to him is that at the end of the thing, they say, well, let me go see Job. Let me go, whatever the name. But immediately a trouble runs. And somebody called me this early morning. I was telling my wife, I don't even know them. They live in Nigeria. I've not seen them. I don't know them. The last time I saw them was like 10 years ago. My brother called me and said, this person is here. He's asking for your number. I said, who is he? He explained. I said, I don't know him. He said, hey, but he remember you one time when you were coming to do programs back village. He said, he remember how you were helping them. So he said he's here that his son that driving him from school, that after he thought and thought, look, he's not seen me 10 years. He said, if he goes over to our house and tell him to come, that I will help him. And do you know, I asked him how much he did. I said, tell him to go home. And he will I'll send him the money. Whenever you're in trouble, the first people you go to is the people who have abundance. It is important, praise for us, to understand the abundance of God. Even looking at creation, God has always been a God of abundance. He's never miserly. That is why miserly people are not, it's not godly. That's part of being godly, is to just be, to be a giver. That is the character of God. And there's no place where you see somebody who is just, you see, being miserly is describing yourself that you're poor. That's really what it is. God has been abundant. Look at the creation of the world. God has never been miserly. Look at the earth. Look at the fullness of it. When I was thinking about the abundance of God, do you know that they have been digging in grounds, taking fossil fuel? My children are about to laugh. All these great grammar people are throwing is my money. Fossil fuel, diamond, they have been digging it all over the world, in poor countries, in rich countries. Till today, they keep finding new ones. The abundance of God. Medicine. They keep finding new kind of medicinal every day. And God did not create them new. From the day one, it has been that abundance has been there. In prayer, I want you to always think of God's abundance. Let me show you. It makes a difference. If you think that God is miserly, then you'll be believing the thing, bring this, bring that, stay, beg, let your head broke before you do. That's a miser. You know, God even used an example of a mean judge. He says that mean judge, that this the woman went to him every day and just said, I need justice.
He said, even that mean judge that does not respect God, does not respect people, he said he gave in. A mean person. But look at God and his abundance. Electricity. Everything, all this thing that everything that man is finding out now is coming from what God has given. So the abundance of God is a key place we need to grow in the word of God. John chapter 1, verse 16. He says, from his abundance, we have all received. Did he say we're going to receive? He said, we have all received one what? One gracious blessing after what? Another. One gracious, unearned, undeserved, unworthy. So whenever you come to pray, believe that you have received. God has abundance. There's so much in God's kitty that we can't finish it. You must understand that in prayer. So whenever you're coming, is it more money that you need? Is it help that you mean? The thing is full in abundance in God. So when you're coming, you're not saying, is it there? Can he provide it? He has it. Just look at what the things that we can see. John chapter 3, 33 to 34. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is what? That God is true. For he is sent by God. He speaks God's word. For God gives him what? The Spirit without what? Without limit. Without limit. Even God's wisdom. His Spirit. Being like him. Operating like him. He does not hold it back. If you come and ask God, he'll give you. If you say, God, I want you. I want exactly you. I want to know what he'll give you. He'll tell you. Without limit. It's important. So when you know that, when you're coming to pray, to present any issue, you are coming with a knowledge that it is there for me to take it. So you receive it and you have it. 34. We did that. Okay, good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26. For everybody read this with me. For the earth is what? And what? So what are you asking for now? Do you know that the earth, including the people in it, and their hearts, and their mind? So you can go to God and say, this thing that I'm dealing with this person, Lord, touch his heart. That person is in this earth, isn't he? And abundance of God. So God even also have control of that person. So you can go and touch that person's heart. For your sake, because you have asked and know that you receive it because God has it. But imagine if you didn't know that God can do that or that God can go touch. He says that the heart of the king is what? He says it belongs to God. I was sharing with my brother today. I don't know. The project I'm doing, there's a fee I'm supposed to pay, $26,000 fee. I say, this fee is too much now. You people have taken this fee, They say, well, and they're doing nothing. It's just a connection fee. I said, I don't have $26,000. I said, I went to the Lord. I said, I don't have $26,000 to give these people now. I'm not going to call the city. He said, I should go to that city. He told me, he said, everything belongs to me. He said, go to that city. The same people where you are doing the thing. Tell them to give you $26,000. Don't they sound ridiculous? I went there. I'm not kidding. yeah, this is my English. Praise the Lord. Just take the value, take the things that I'm saying. Forget the English. Take the things I'm saying. But I'll tell you something. I went over there. Prophet, I'm telling you, I said, look, I want you to pay the $26,000. They began to laugh. They said, are you crazy? I said, no, I'm not crazy. I said, I want you to pay. They said, why? They said, we don't do that. They said, we have already done this for you. I said, yes. See, I understood the abundance of God. They began to quote to me. They said, we gave you 22 years. I said, yes, I know all of that, but I want you to pay the 26,000. Because God has abundance. He said, no, I don't have nothing for it. I said, please, think about it. They didn't say anything. I went back again. That time he said, okay, put it in writing. I wrote a letter. That's my. So I go back. They look at me. They said, man, they said, you got some B. It's okay, we'll call you back. Do you know they called me 3 days ago? They gave me the check for $26,000. They gave it to me, and I went over and I paid the fee. So I could have just said, no, this is ridiculous. No. But the earth and everything that is in it is what? And he's my father. And he's my father. And I took the money, and I went this morning to that place. I paid the fee. They gave me the clearance. And I have not ended. There's another bill. I'm not going to pay my money. I'm going to go. They say, but you're not going to come again. I say, well, that's your own story. So let's understand the abundance of God. The other thing we need to know in the place of prayer, we have to understand God's language. We have to understand how God talks. God does not speak the way people speak. So if you don't understand the way God speaks, you'll be coming to God, taking into consideration how people speak. And then when you come to place of prayer, you will not first believe and receive. You will first be waiting to do what? To have before you receive. And it never happens. So understanding the way God speaks will greatly enhance our receiving in prayer. There was an example in the Bible, a man called Abraham. This Abraham was called the father of what? Faith. So if he was called the father of faith, which means that he really figured and know the way to do what? To receive in prayer. Because if he has faith, all he was doing was when he prayed, he believed that he received. And he did what? He got it. That's what faith is. So let's see what he understood about God and how God speaks. So that way, when we come to pray, when we hear God's word, we can hear. You know, sometimes people don't hear what God is saying. So you can come, you speak God's word, powerful word. The people go away, they didn't hear what God is saying. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. So what can we say about Abraham, the father of our people? What did he learn about faith? So that's our journey now. So even the Bible asks the same question. The Bible is incredible, isn't it? He said, what did he find out? So let's find out, what did he learn about faith? Verse 3. That's why the scripture says, Abraham did what? Believed God. And because of this faith, he was accepted as one who is what? Who is right with God. So all he found out is that you should believe. Now, how did he find it? Let's go to verse 17. I don't want to read all that. But if you have time, you can look at Romans 4. I pray by next year or sometime along the line, we'll do some Bible studies on just books, which is the topic. We'll do books. And by the grace of God, we'll do that. Verse 17. We went to verse 20. From verse 17. There's Romans 4, 17 there. No? Yeah. I want in ERV. 17 and 18. You sure it's not there? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. As the scripture says, what? I have made you a father of what? Is that present tense or past tense? Eh? All these MBA people, you help me out. It's past tense, right? I have made you father of many nations. This is true before God. The one Abraham believed. The God who does what? Who gives life to the dead and speaks of things that don't yet exist. As what? That's what he found out. Do you know that's why somebody came to me, a Jehovah's Witness? Really, you see, when people don't know Bible, you know the Sadducees. You see the Sadducees? They came to Christ and was talking. He was talking garbage, saying we don't believe in resurrection. Then okay, if there's resurrection, we had somebody who had a wife and then died. And when they finished, Jesus just looked at them and said, "You people don't understand the power of God and you don't know the scripture." So this Jehovah's Witness, what he thought he has understood scripture, he said. When we're saying that Christ resurrected, and that so he started saying, well, yeah, he resurrected, but we know that what was he saying? The thing is that he said when he was still hanging on the cross, that when the man was talking to him, he says that today you will be with me in the kingdom, and that we know that Jesus did not go to the kingdom that day because later he resurrected and people saw him walking around. So that is his reason why he doesn't believe that when people die, that they go to heaven. That's why he believes that it is in this earth that everybody will be. So I said to him, I said, you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. He didn't know that God and Jesus is God. And they call the things that don't exist as if they're what? So that's when he created the world, he said with his word, he said, let this. All these things that we are gripping in the world now, they were there since he spoke it. And you know, the Bible says, people keep saying that the Bible says that the world was created out of nothing. That's not true. It says that they were created from things that were not seen. Was it created from nothing? And what are the things that are not seen? Faith. So God has faith. And that's why he can do the things he does. That's why I say, without faith, it is what? Impossible. Impossible. When God says something is impossible, how can, when we say that all things is possible with God, God comes and says something is impossible. Praise the Lord. So, he says, Abraham found that. He said, I have made you father of many nations. He said, this is true before God, but it's not true before anything else. This is true before God. The one Abraham believed, the God who gives life to the dead and speak of things that yet exist as if they did what? They already exist. So you're sitting in your business as long as no water, and God says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the counsel of the God, who live by my word. Anything he puts his hand to do, he says he has prospered. He will prosper. So if you know how God said, you hold that thing and somebody asks you, you say it's prospered. If you believe that you receive, then you what? If you don't understand God, you say, but where is it? You'll be listening to God. You'll be hearing God as normal speech. Verse 18. There was no hope that Abraham would have children. There was what? There was no hope. But Abraham believed God and continued to what? To hope. And that is why he became what? Father of many nations. Because every hope being lost, hope that man can see, he believed that this God calls things that does not exist as if they exist. So he continues, he says, I'm dealing with God. This is how he talks. And God told him, you will have what? Many descendants. Romans 4:20. Look at 20. He said, because God has said it. Because God has said it. And he said, I know this God. He said, he never doubted that God would do what he promised. He never stopped what? Have you seen people who say, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed? That's just unbelief. Because they don't know how God. So God has said this thing. They don't understand God that he calls the things that are not. He said it because he brings the things that are dead. Because you know, by God, the Bible says that. God says that. The other thing, he says, he makes a way where there is what? So he creates things. He creates things. Abraham knew that. So when he said things, he said, this is how he talks. That when he's talking like this, that this thing is saying, it is done already, even though I'm not saying it's done. So he said, because of that, he just continued believing. Continued believing. He said he never stopped believing. In fact, he grew what? He grew stronger. So you would have thought that he would have started backing out and said, well, this thing is not happening. Well, it's not. He said, even because he understood God's language. So in prayer, it's important that we grow in understanding how God talks. Praise the Lord. That we understand how God. Another thing is important that we do is that we want to give ourselves to faith-focused gathering. That's how we help our unbelief. We want to make sure that we are committed to events, gatherings, and environment where you are focused on the word, uniting your faith with like-minded believers. You want to unite your faith with people who think like Abraham. Because a companion of fools will be destroyed. We're saying on Sunday, say, make no mistake about it, that evil company does what? It corrupts good manners. If you want to develop to help your unbelief, Make sure you give yourself to events, gathering an environment where you are focused on the word of God, the word of God continually. If you enter my car all the time, ask me, I'm doing. I have the Bible playing all the time. I'm listening. Because the thing is that we forget easily. And in this world, your life is being poured like water in every minute. Even if you fill it up now, that's why you can come in the house. You're living in the morning, you're happy. But in 1 hour later, you're all frustrated. Our life is being poured out by the second. So it needs to be filled up at all times.
The Bible says that the way we prosper, it says we prosper in all things if our soul prospers. John verse 3, 3 John 3. He said, we prosper. He said, you prosper in health and all things. If your soul is what? If your soul is not prospering, it begins to affect every other thing in your life. I'm telling you. Check in your own life. In times that your soul is prospering, you see how you're climbing mountains. And just pull back. It's like working out. If you're anybody who exercises, You're lifting. Take a vacation for 2 weeks and come back and go and try that weight. And you see what happens. So let us make sure to do. It's not a joke. Continually. That's why I commend each and every one of you that continually has Bible study. I tell people, I say, a month, a week has 100 and how many hours? How many hours in a week?
And you people were laughing at me.
100 what? Let's say about 168. It's more than 50. 150. More than 50. Now, as a matter of fact, most people sleep. Some people don't even get 4 hours of sleep. So even if they sleep, so in all of that week, the person slept for 20 or 25 hours. Eh? And all these other times, he's running like cat and dog. And if by strength, he goes to church on Sunday, if they go past 30 minutes, he's kicking his leg. And that 30 minutes, they're not even speaking any word. They're talking rubbish. Oh, they're dancing. They're dancing, dancing, dancing. And he leaves, he has gone to church. No word. So then you add Bible study, they're just angry. Say, yeah, what are we going to come? So the rest of the 140-something hours is spent in just being struggle of this world and pulling them apart. So there's nothing. So he's getting the same result the world is getting. The person says he's a Christian. And they're wondering, what's happening? What's happening? So they schedule everything. They schedule the world and everything. But that is the root. That is where the power lies. That is what propels them to do what they can do. That's what makes them more than overcomer. It's not there. So to grow, help our unbelief. So Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend does what? Sharpens a friend. And so Hebrews 10:24, I'm going to start rushing up because my time, I got to finish this. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of the return is what? Is drawing near. So let this become your priority. So I see this group, and let me tell you, this group that's coming to Bible study and sitting and hearing the word, if you give testimonies, a lot of things are changing in your life. There's a special strength. There's a strength that the word of God is bringing in your life. There are just things that are opening up. There are things that you see before you don't know how to tackle. Sometimes you just see, you begin to bless the name of the Lord and you're laughing. And the team walks away. So it's important. Listen to messages. All this, that's why before we started, immediately we started, the first thing I did was to get a website to be able to start doing podcasts and everything. Download those messages. Play them in your, that's all I listen to. In the morning, I told you, if I get in my car, I get like the 9 o'clock news or the 7:30 news. I get the headlines. I know what's happening. Everything else is spin. Do I want to listen to the detail of how Wall Street is falling? How all my 401k is going to die? Is that what I need? Do I want to think I'll listen more about the new strain of flu that just showed up that's killing everybody in Asia? Is that what I want to build myself on? So immediately they say the strain is there. Before they just do the headlines, boop, I turn it off. I start listening to the word of God. And so at every time, there's strength.
Every time there is strength. Forgive. Another thing, live a life of forgiveness. Forgive people who have wronged you. Do what? Forgive. Forgive people who have wronged you. Even if it's real or perceived. Try to live a life of forgiveness. Try to live a life of overlooking. You know, I want to emphasize, especially in home, do you see the greatest bitterness is not with outsiders. Most of our bitterness is within our family. With our children, with our wives, with our husbands. That's where the greatest bitterness is. The people that are closest to you. Because I tell people, you know, somebody that I don't know can't really piss me off much. If he does something, I just say he doesn't know what he's doing. But somebody you care for, they do a little thing, it hurts you more. Because you're saying they should know. That's why love is very real thing. So let us try in our homes and be people who forgive. Forgive. Let's forgive one another. If you don't, I'll show you. If we don't, it will hinder our belief. It won't help our unbelief. Because you see, the thing is that we said we look at God's grace and God's abundance and all those things. That's what gives us more of the confidence to come before Him. Now, if we are carrying out, whenever we come, you remind ourselves, but you have come to take for free. What about you? But people don't know that. That's why you see people have so much bitterness. They're sick. They're doing all these things. They are going to one prayer house to another. I say, the problem is that this thing can't happen because you're coming to beg God, say, help me. But you, when you see the person, you feel your stomach start churning. It won't work. That's why prayers don't work.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood. Our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood, not by us doing it correctly, not by us fixing it. Christ's blood just came, sprinkled it, and set it free. That's how we can come boldly. Now, if we can come boldly because of grace, because they sprinkle and just let us go, why are we holding somebody else? So let's pray to forgive. Ephesians 4:32. I have it up there in the message. He said, be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God did what? In Christ, forgive us. Very important. And finally, let us be doers of the word. Make every effort to practice to give yourself in doing what the word of God is teaching you. Now, this means that you are first of all a person of the word. Someone who gives themselves to studying, listening, learning, and delighting in the word. You can't be a doer of something you don't hear. So first, the thing is that gently, little by little, begin to grow yourself in the word. Begin to grow yourself in the word. See, that's one of the, I was teaching one time about appreciating church. I said one of the great things that God did with church, because you know, church is not this place where it's me and you, is that He put teachers. He brings one of us, each one of us, so that we can begin to encourage one another. I still share with one of my brothers one day, do you know that just coming to this Bible study and seeing him sitting and seeing her sitting and seeing you sitting, do you know there are people who come encourage them? Do you know that act alone you're doing is an act of God? Do you think that if only me I'm showing up here every day, don't you think you begin to discourage me? Don't you think if you're only one showing, you begin to discourage me? But he says that we should make sure that what we do, that we want to be people who give ourselves to a word. Listen, so God has set the church. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Take a gathering of people of like mind. Take advantage of it. So the Bible says we should love the truth. For all who love the truth will accept what the word of Christ says. The book of John. He said, love the truth. You need to love the truth. I was making a joke with somebody the other day. I said, you know, there's somebody who will just sit and now we're listening to the Bible. The person will just be fidgeting. But immediately we'll just stop this thing now and we'll just turn on the movie. You tell him, let's go. He doesn't want to leave. He said, I thought you said you were tired. He said, let's watch one more minute now. Let's watch one more minute. Does he love the truth? He doesn't love the truth. But that truth is really what is going to happen.
I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, these key things, if you just we just go and be practicing, you see how your prayer. So let us be people who love the truth.
So Paul tell Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be what? May be evident.
That's the only way. Let nobody fool you that if you do it haphazardly, that you're going to get the results. No. The Bible says that if a man fails in his day of adversity, it's not because of the adversity. It's because what? His strength is small.
I'm lifting this chair now. Look at it. And I can hold it like this for 5, 6, 7 minutes because I've changed my muscle from. But there's somebody who give this chair. As a matter of fact, you take a little child, or even that somebody my age, you can give this chair. I tell him to hold it for 3 minutes. By the time he holds it, he starts feeling spasm. The problem is not this chair. The problem is what? The strength.
Because adversity comes. Why do we go to prayer? Because we go to look for help from God. Adversity does come. It comes to everybody. There's nobody that adversity sees and walk away from.
Praise the Lord.
But if we develop this strength, because God wants to, He said, I'm willing. So that it will be evident to all, that progress has been made. That progress. But if we ignore these things, even to ourselves, it will be evident. And then when you leave this chair once and the strength doesn't leave it to that, you know, you start leaving it.
But if it is a problem, it's not going to go away.
Then it just starts mounting up.
It just comes up because you didn't take it away. Praise the Lord. Finally, if you fail to do what you know is right, you're sinning. James 4:17.
If you fail to do what you know is right. See, James was warning that some Israelites, he said, look, all of you shouldn't be teachers. So he said, because as you the process of being teachers, you learn a lot. And one of the great things about learning, knowledge is power. It's great advantage to have knowledge. But the issue is that when you have knowledge, the onus now becomes on you to respond to knowledge. So as we know these truths, let us practice them. Let us listen, let us practice them. And let our development be evident. Because if we ignore them, God holds us responsible. He doesn't hold us responsible that it's just that he says, I can help. Because you know, if there's fire here now, you saw a little toddler running over there, everybody would dive and catch it. But if you see fire over here and a grown-up guy start going, first people will first sit back and say, is he crazy? A lot of people won't dive out. The person will get burned. When he starts getting burned, they'll say, he really didn't know what he's doing. By the time they pull him out, there's burn all over what? Over his body.